Welcome to the Wisdom Circle. To subscribe or follow us on your favorite podcast platforms, please visit us at www.thewisdomcircle.com.
Welcome to the Wisdom Circle. It's my friend Tony Ponturo and I doing a solo meeting, just the two of us. We don't have a guest host today. It is an exciting episode for us in that, because we always love having guests, and we have some great ones coming up, by the way. But this actually is to celebrate our first anniversary of doing the Wisdom Circle. We started about a year ago, started planning it about 6 months before that. And we're going to go into that whole, because it was Tony's, you know, germ of an idea, and we got it done, and then we're now into our first year. So we are going to talk about that, but I'm going to try to introduce something that we'd like to do every episode. I am a data guy. We've talked about, and we'll talk about this, Tony being an A Z guy and me being an A B C D guy. I like data. I like facts. And so I'm always looking around for fun facts to know and tell. So being a foodie, I like to look at some of those facts. And so the sandwich is something that we've all had, and invented by the Earl of Sandwich, if you didn't know that, the fourth Earl of Sandwich, the fourth. There are 300 million sandwiches eaten in the United States every year. A lot of them are not peanut butter and jelly. Tony, what, and this is catching you off guard, so it's unfair, but do you have any idea what you think the percentage of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches eaten in the United States each year are? And I'm going to tell you right now, it's lower than you think.
Okay. Well, I was going to go high, thinking that a lot of people eat peanut butter and jelly. I'm going to say 10%.
See, you're a smart dude. It's actually 6. But I bet you would have said 50 or 40, because that's what I
think. I was about to say 50 until you gave me the hint. So,
we used to do in the upfront.
You should have let me fall on my face. Yeah, you should have let me fall.
Never let that happen. 6. So I thought that was funny. And then just 2 more fun things to know and tell.
Now, before you go to the next fact,
yeah,
our viewers are probably wondering, well, what was the Earl sandwich? What was the first sandwich?
He just decided to put meat between two pieces of what was then bread.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not a famous, it's not a patty melt.
It's not patty melts, but speaking of patty melts, so on a NASA flight, Gemini 3, John Young and Gus Grissom were the two pilots, astronauts. I guess they're pilots. He stuffed a pastrami sandwich in his spacesuit and brought it to space, which is like not exactly cool. And so while he and Gus were up there, he pulls out the pastrami sandwich. And they try to share it, and like it just starts to float over the cockpit. And so the NASA people are flipping out, like, what the hell? And they put it away. But if you go to the Gus Grissom Memorial Museum in Mitchell, Indiana, there is actually a replica of the uneaten pastrami sandwich, which I thought was, if you're ever passing through Mitchell, Indiana, pretty cool. Now, because of that, they decided we got to give these guys some kind of real food. And on Apollo 11, this is the last part of the fun facts portion of our show, and I'm not asking you any more questions, but I might do that next time. You might not know this, but cornflakes are not, they're gravity neutral, so they don't go flying all over the place. So they gave them these prepackaged packs of cornflakes and frosted flakes that they could eat while up in space. And if you go to the National Air and Space Museum, which a lot of people do, you can, in fact, see some of the prepackaged cornflakes that they put on Apollo 11 because the pastrami sandwich didn't quite cut it. So anyway.
I'll tell you one Gus Grissom story.
I'm good.
Yeah, so, and I always feel bad telling this a little bit because, he died in the capsule before it took off on, I think, his second or third mission.
Yeah.
But in his first mission, and this was depicted in The Right Stuff, the movie, so I'm hoping they didn't, you know, embellish it a little bit. But Gus Grissom, when he landed in the ocean after he did whatever he did, two or three orbits, he opened the hatch to get out, whether it was claustrophobic or whatever. He thought the capsule would sink, so he wanted out. But he wasn't supposed to do that. It was supposed to be open from the outside and whatever. And so when he opened it, he did start to sink. And so that you'll see footage of him crawling out of it, hoisting up on the helicopter thing. And he said later, "I screwed the pooch." And so in business, of course, people had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, "Just don't screw the pooch." And of course, they didn't know what that meant, but that's where it came from. And wow. I assume that the movie depicted that correctly, but that actual act did happen. Anyway, see, wow. We don't even know what we're going to talk about, but the dots keep connecting. Well, you have a little idea what the facts
were. We could do this all day, but we won't, because what I was going to say is that goes back to one of the great old Italian sayings of my upbringing, which is, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
So once Gus opened the door, something that wasn't broken got broken.
And I don't know if you saw, you know, the Blue Origin thing yesterday. I was sort of intrigued with it. It's gotten a lot of, you know, like anything else in today's world, feedback, negative and positive.
Of course.
But the ladies were not supposed to open the door from the inside. Bezos wanted to say activate and open the door. Well, I guess not quite before all the cameras got in to where they landed. They had started to open the door, and they were like, "No, no, no!" And they actually closed the door back up, so he could say activate, and then it opened up, and they came out. So then people said, "Well, this was a really staged event." Well, you know, he wanted to open the door, and you know, he paid for the ride, but you know, in our world today, it's just. You're never going to get out clean. Let's put it that way.
No, that's hysterical. When I saw that thing take off, and to keep this all on the up and up, that rocket ship reminded me of Dr. Evil in Austin Powers. And Jeff Bezos reminds me of Dr. Evil. I'm not talking about his politics. I mean, just his face.
His look, the bald head, yeah.
Yeah, so this all kind of comes full circle of, you know, I can see Dr. Evil, shut the door! Oh my God, that's a great story. All right, so.
Now what we should do before we lose people, for those who may be watching for the first time, you didn't really say who you were. So this is Ray Warren, my co-host.
Yes, thank you.
So you know who's actually on the other side of the curtain.
That's true. It's saying all the crazy things about sandwiches and pastrami. But anyway, thank you for the introduction, Tony. I appreciate it. So one maybe our second anniversary, if we have more viewers and an audience listening, we'll just do this 40 minutes and really see what happens, because
we
think it's entertaining. I'm not sure anybody else does. But good story about Bezos and maybe sandwiches, so cornflakes. But I have more. I got one more. What the, because you're Italian, Sicilian.
Yeah.
My cousin makes a very clear distinction between the two. I am not Italian. I'm Sicilian. Okay. Got it. What is a single strand of spaghetti called? Because spaghetti is the multiple noodles.
I don't know. I won't waste 30 seconds thinking about it.
It's a spaghetto.
Oh, a spaghetto.
Yeah. One strand. It's a spaghetto. All right. So. Tell me about what you first thought of when you said, you know what, I don't know, maybe doing a podcast would be cool.
Yeah, I think, you know, having, after the corporate days, teaching at NYU and then at Columbia working with students, I learned, at least in my mind, that young people were looking for perspective. They were looking for, they wanted to learn. They did want to hear some anecdotes, how they, you know, and that people that were successful did not just end up there. you know, that it was hard work, and it helped reinforce to them that that it's a process. I think you and I started talking then about after COVID and people not going to the office, and how would young people, and for that matter, people in their 30s and 40s, all of a sudden start to learn from each other. They weren't going to the office. They were looking in, at through the video. How could a, I'll use the word boss just to make it simple, you know, understand their people. How could he be teaching them things, you know, on and on and on. And so I think we started the conversation is how can we impart wisdom on people? And we toyed with that name a long time. We didn't want to be like, you know, we are the Wizard of Oz and we got all this great smarts. We just said, we've been in the business a long time, made mistakes, had some success stories. How can we share that? And that was really, I think, not speaking for you, I'll let you jump in here. That was sort of our mission. How do we, and we didn't want it to be just us. So let's bring in people from all different walks, not so much walks of life, because we haven't had a, you know, a plumber or a, you know, a sewer. Good way to say that. But different ages and perspective and get the conversation going. And if people could get this much out of a 40-minute total podcast, then that was great. And so we said, let's buckle up. What do we have to lose? And we've done 40 episodes with really great people. So yeah. I'll stop there and
let you go. It was great. I remember when you called and my first year or two of retirement was not easy for me. Yeah. I was going 100,000 miles an hour, traveling all over the place with Del Mundo. And I was a little lost. So doing something that, and they do say about giving back is good, engagement is good, socialization is good, working out is good, blah, blah, blah. And it's all true. This seemed like a pretty interesting idea, talking to an old friend every couple of weeks, imparting what we can and continuing to learn, which was another part of, you know, what we talked about, adding a third person, which would A, make it more of a circle, not just two old guys talking to each other. And we could share and we could be shared with. And I think we've both taken things away from some of our guests that are like, wow, that's really interesting too. So, and then I know we kind of kicked it around and kicked it around, and somewhere 6 months later, we said, all right, it's time to go, no go, kind of like a launch, right, of a spaceship.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was at some point, I just thought of Ramon, our producer, Ramon Ramos,
right. Who
thank grandly for having us be here. Without Ramon, we'd be talking to each other on a FaceTime call. And Ramon agreed, and we're grateful for that. And we put together the Wisdom Circle. And
I think, thank you, just pat Ramon one more time on the back. It really wouldn't have existed. You know, I think both without Ramon and the technical savvy that he has, mm-hmm. and you knew the kind of person he was, because you and I still shake my hand when I have to hit the button or the link to say, will it actually work? And so I think you said, well, we can do the podcast, but who's going to actually do the technology? Because it's not going to be you or I. Right. We sort of knew the level of expectation of that. So thanks to Ramon, and we won't let his head swell too much more after this. But he's really the third wheel of this in a positive way.
Absolutely.
And it wouldn't happen without him. So thank you, Ramon.
Yeah. So I think that you know, a little bit of looking back and maybe a little bit of talking about what we look forward to in year two. I think looking back, to your point, we've had a lot of episodes and some great guests, and to pick any one of them out, I just think we've got kind of sections of the young people starting a career, the people in the middle of their career, and the people who are, you know, not necessarily retired, but they are on the other end of their career. And we've learned a lot. I think the one thing that always sticks out with me is the difference between corporate America today and corporate America when we were going through corporate America. Not to do, well, when I was in the the business. But today, you know, return to office, politics, and I don't, all politics, the political environment, and then politically correct and all the things that are going on, and then the attacks on some things like DEI that are so awful. It's tough. It just feels like it would be, you know, really tough. And I think some of the things we learned were that this generation is much more collaborative, much more thinking about each other and wanting to advance together, and that there's more strength in their commonality than there is in climbing the corporate ladder and, you know, giving an elbow to the person to your left or right if it means getting a promotion or whatever. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, a couple things. One is, you know, it's gotten so complicated, and I'll use the word busy. I mean, yes, we're not talking about we walked to school with bare feet, but it wasn't simple at the time. I don't feel that the business, particularly sports, was driven as dramatically about revenue as it is today. And really, as we, from the 80s through the 90s, developed sports sponsorship. You know, if you think about it, it didn't really exist much prior to that.
Really?
You know, not in a sophisticated way. We used to call it, we have to evolve from banner hangers to sophisticated marketers. And so that's put a different dimension on, I think, the employee, the expectation, the sports presented, and the whole social media. I went to my wife yesterday. I spent like 30 minutes, and it could grab you on X. I still call it Twitter a little bit. And it takes you down a rabbit hole, you know, because you're looking at all of this stuff. And a lot of it's sort of depressing, you know. And so you sort of put the phone down, in my case, and you're exhausted, you know. And so particularly for the, you know, people in the workforce today, there's so many things hitting them. Social media is this big thing, you know.
I mean, you talk about that some more, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, talked to Bud Light about it killed a brand by one little hiccup, which that one little hiccup wouldn't have existed 30 years ago. So it's a very interesting time. And then just underlining one thing you said, we certainly heard from the younger folks is they want more of a balance. You know, they want, you know, one of the reasons they didn't want to come back to work is, you know, they could fit in an hour exercise, or they could, you know, watch something and cool down, or, you know, relieve their brain, and they weren't structured, you know, to an office and a desk. And it was real. It was real, you know, because that was their sort of level of expectation. That's what they grew up in. So they didn't really know the other thing, you know. Right. So
yeah. And I think it's still real. I think it's still very real. There are companies that never invested in real estate rentals, you know, started their business up in a, like Steve Jobs. I mean, would there be an Apple, you know, headquarters in Cupertino if Steve said, and Wozniak, well, we could do this from here. We don't have to go do anything. I'm guessing there would be, because there's a point there. I do believe in the need for that. I'm not 100% sold on everybody has to go to work 5 days a week from 8 or 9 till 5 or 7, whatever. So I think it's a good outcome, more productivity. Because look, I mean, I used to spend 3 hours a day commuting. So barely saw the kids in the morning, barely saw them at night. You know, it would be nice to have some of that time back. So it's interesting to see how it's moving along. There are people who
can, you know, it used to be an old line, or at least a line in my head. You talk about empowerment, and I used to say, you know, you sort of let the rope out, and if you keep getting trust from your superior, if you will, they'll keep letting the rope out, because they want you to do more because it relieves them, and they can be doing other things as well. And then you either hang yourself with that rope, or you keep getting more rope to do more empowerment. And I would guess that that's, if we were back in the office today, it's sort of the same thing. Okay, I want to try to understand what's going on here. I'm going to give, you know, you're an adult, I'm going to give you more rope. But if you abuse that rope, then I'm going to hang you with it.
Yeah.
You know, to, you know.
No, So I love what you just said. I mean, it's funny because I feel like we've talked about everything. No, we haven't over 46 years. So one of the early parts of my career with a difficult employee, I got some good advice from someone that says, you know, if you give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves. Now, I don't want to use hang them as a theme here.
Right, right.
But I think empowerment and that analogy is really what's going on right now, because there are people who are not showing up and they're just not being seen and they're not being heard. And some care and some don't. I mean, to your point about balance, right? I think if you really feel you want to pursue hard this company you're working at, then you're more likely to want to go into the office. If you're pursuing a career in media, in law, in finance, you know, you just want to get good at it. And you have to go to the office every day to do that. There's so much, I mean, nobody's getting gold watches after 25 years. I mean, you spend a long time. I was at Comcast for quite a while, you know, a couple of places, not quite ever 20 years, but yeah, I might've gotten a silver watch. So yeah, I think it depends on what your purpose is. Do I love this company so much? Or do I hate being home so much that I'm going to go to the office? It's just such a dynamic.
Part 2 of this podcast will be available next week. For more information, please visit us at www.thewisdomcircle.com. Thank you.